is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, start the season off strong this October with scary good deals of up to $4,000 off the top training solutions from our friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Prepare your team for success this preseason with spooky savings of up to $4,000 off Dr. Dish Basketball's shooting machines designed for schools and programs. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Andre Cook, the head men's basketball coach at St. Edward's University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. FastDraw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off FastDraw and FastScout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hey coaches, check out our newest sponsor, SportsLab 360, an online platform made up of interactive modules that focus on different tactical concepts, from the basics of reading a screen to specific offenses such as the dribble drive. Especially for our high school coaches out there with such limited practice time with your players, assigning the SportsLab 360 modules to them before practice can save you tons of time from having to stand there and explain these concepts. And you can move more quickly on to the next layer while your competition is still stuck on the fundamentals. As a coach, you can also put customized notes into the players' interactive modules, and you can track how they're scoring on the modules, making it a valuable tool to help identify areas that need development. These guys have had major success in soccer and just recently launched in basketball, and I'd urge all of our listeners to go check them out. Through October and November, you can use the code all lowercase, HOOPHEADS, to save 15% off any SportsLab 360 plan. Head over to www.sportslab360basketball.com to check them out. Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel tonight. And despite the fact that we considered doing a couple of emergency pods after the Dame Lillard and Jrue Holiday trades, we ended up doing zero emergency pods. So we will.
The stars did not align.
So we're going to go ahead and discuss those two trades tonight as part of our Eastern Conference over-under. So I think, Jason, you have a Hall of Fame 20-question deal for me.
I have a Hall of Fame and I have a trivia question. Do you want the Hall of Fame question or the trivia question first?
That'll at least be shorter. Either I'll know it or I won't.
Okay, so Evan Mobley is second all-time or third all-time in wins in their first two seasons as a Cleveland Cavalier if they started their career as a Cleveland Cavalier. All right. Okay. Number three, name who number one and number two is.
Number one and number two started their career as a Cleveland Cavalier. So you'd have to think that it's somebody. What do we have any rookies that came in during the LeBron era? Joe Harris.
Nope. You're in the right era though. You're in the right era for one of them.
Anderson Varejao?
Nope. Right position. Right position, Mike.
Right position. Right position, right era. Sometimes when you give me too many hints, that freezes me up, gets my brain locked into something, and then I can't get out of it. Center from that era. Big Z.
I classify Zverajal as a power forward center. Tristan so I Thompson. Apologize if I'm misleading you. No. He wasn't in the original LeBron era. Go to the original LeBron era.
Drew Gooden.
Nope.
I got nothing, man. I'm out. Renewable.
Number one. Number two is JJ Hickson. All right. Mike. Number one is from before that time.
Before that time.
I was a kid.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, all those Derek Anderson.
He ended up going to Minnesota after us. He went to Minnesota after us.
He went to Minnesota after leaving Cleveland. I don't know. I have no idea.
He has a first and a last name that is it's Terrell Brandon.
There you go. I have
111 wins in his first two seasons,
John
Mike.
Terrell.
I found that very interesting.
That was good. I had nothing on that one. So hopefully that doesn't that may not bode well for this next one.
All right. My page is frozen up. I might have to pull it up on my phone here. All right, I'll pull it up on my phone here. Hold on 1 second. Sorry, this is not. All right, I'm ready to go. Hall of Famer, Mike. Yes or no questions.
All right, I got it. You were frozen. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Hall of Famer. Yes or no questions. Whenever you're ready, Mike.
Is this player a guard?
No.
Is this player a forward?
He's classified. He has played forward, yes.
Did this player play for the San Antonio Spurs?
No.
Did this player play for an Eastern Conference team primarily?
Yes.
Has this player won an MVP?
No.
Has this player had more than 5 All-Star appearances?
No.
So this is a borderline MV. This is a borderline Hall of Famer. Is this player? That's not a question. This is just me thinking out loud. So it's just not dead air here as we're going through this. We might have to reevaluate this game. Did this player ever lead the league in rebounding? Did this player play for the Detroit Pistons?
Oh, yeah. Twice. Yes. The answer is yes.
Did this player play for the Detroit Pistons?
Yes.
Is this player Ben Wallace?
Yes. There you go, Mike. 9 questions. There you go.
All right, that's about what I did last week. All right. Well, I did better on that one than I did on the Cavs trivia tonight. So
here you go. I'm really upset, though, because the college that's listed on Basketball References is Virginia Union University. What about Tri-C? That's kind of offensive.
Hey, it's where he
finished. Cuyahoga Community College.
It's where he finished, not where he started, baby.
No, that's unfortunate. All right.
There you go.
So you would say he's a borderline Hall of Famer, right? I mean, I guess when you look at it,
he's not
6-time all defensive player, 4-time defensive player of the year. He all NBA 5 times, 2-time total rebound champ, 1-time block champ, 4-time all star.
Still probably a borderline Hall of Famer, I would say. You could probably make a case that he was not a Hall of Famer. Although, again,
How about the fact that he started at a community college and then he made it to the NBA and was that good?
Yeah, look, I'm not denigrating Ben Wallace. I mean, he's in the Hall of Fame. He's not certainly at the top of guys that I would start listing as the best Hall of Famers of all time. I mean, I'd be pretty far down the list before I'd probably get to Ben Wallace if we started. That would be an interesting exercise.
You rank just naming all Hall of Famers?
Rank them in the Hall of Fame. You could do the Simmons pyramid.
Yeah.
Where would you put guys? That'd be interesting.
I mean, I know who's at the top.
There'd be a lot of names before you get to Ben Wallace. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Okay. So the main exercise tonight, Mike, is we're going to go with over-unders. Now, we are going to use, once again, we are not sponsored. DraftKings, come talk to us. We're not sponsored by DraftKings, but that's where I went to for my information. I'm also using a website I call Hispanos NBA that talks about, I don't even know, all the changes on the team. So we're going to go through every team. We're going to talk about the key additions. I'm not going to name every single player, but we're going to talk about key additions, and then we're going to say they're over under, and then we're going to have a little bit of a discourse. Some teams are going to only have a little bit, very small discourse. Others, such as maybe the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, might require us to discuss and elaborate a little further. So, and we're going to just do this alphabetically, Mike. I think that's what we did last year, and it just makes the most sense.
Yep.
All right. So the first team is the Atlanta Hawks. Key additions. The only two names that stand out to me are Wesley Matthews and Patty Mills, both guys who are rotational guys. The big name being John Collins. And then I guess you could also include Aaron Holiday in the out category. So based on what I'm reading, Mike, I would say that this team got worse. I mean, John Collins is a question, like whether he's healthy or not. But I don't know. I don't think that John Collins and Aaron Holiday swapped for Wesley Matthews and Patty Mills is an upgrade if I'm the Atlanta Hawks. And I think the DraftKings agrees with me because their over-under is 42.5.
All right, so Atlanta, it basically comes down to when you're talking about the Hawks, you're talking about one guy. You're talking about Trae Young.
And, well, I think DeJounte Murray is also talked about, right?
But you're still talking about Trae Young. If you believe in the Hawks, it's because you believe in Trae Young. If you don't believe in the Hawks, it's because you don't believe in Trae Young. And, yeah, they have some other pieces and guys that are good players, and certainly DeJounte Murray last year at this time, we were speculating as to what the Hawks were going to look like with the Murray and Trae Young backcourt. And I think for the most part, Murray did pretty much what expected, what was expected of him.
I mean, he was the better player last year, right?
I mean, it depends on what, again, I would go back to my original statement, right? It depends on if you like Trae Young or not. If you like Trae Young and you like the things that he does, then you would probably say Trae Young had a better season last year. If you like DeJounte Murray and what he does, maybe you think that he had a better season. To me, and we've talked about it a bunch of times, Trae Young had his moment in the sun a couple of years ago with the series against the Knicks and then against the Sixers, where he demonstrated that he was a guy who, during playoff basketball, could carry a team and get hot and play really well and made that run to the Eastern Conference Finals and took the Bucks to 6 games. And that was pretty much on the back of what Trae Young could do. And yet I think the consensus is, and when you look at his performances other than in those playoffs, that Trae Young is a guy who puts up stats. He's a guy who is a good passer, but people don't necessarily think of him as a willing passer. People respect his ability to shoot, and yet if you look at his percentages over time, he's not really a great shooter. So the question is, can you build a consistent winning team around Trae Young if he's the best player on your team? And to be honest, I think the answer is probably no. Like last year, we were talking about the Hawks kind of in that second tier of teams with the Cavs, the Knicks, the Raptors, the Hawks. There was a lot of varying opinions on those four teams. If you put those four teams in a hat and just kind of mixed them together, there were people who thought that Toronto was going to be the best or Toronto was going to be the worst or the Cavs, whatever. There was a lot of disagreement about where those teams, they all kind of were wrapped in, but people thought that they, you know, everybody had different opinions about those teams. So I'm not sure that people consider Atlanta to be in the same category with the Cavs and Knicks. I would say those two teams are probably elevated themselves above Atlanta. 42 and 40 seems fair. I'm going to go under on the Hawks just because I'm not really a huge believer in Trae Young. I just don't think DeAndre Hunter has never become what Atlanta hoped he was going to be. He's kind of become what I thought he would be, which was not a great player. And he's fine, but not great. Losing John Collins theoretically hurts him, although the way Atlanta used him and the kind of the way that situation was, I'm not sure that it's almost maybe an addition by subtraction type of situation. But I don't really feel like they added much, and I'm not sure that the Trae Young, DeJounte Murray backcourt is enough to push them over 42 wins. So I'm going to go under.
Okay, I'm definitely going under here. I just look at, and I have the benefit of, I have the over-unders in front of me here. So like I know where other teams are ranked. I look at the over-unders and I see two or three teams that have the over-under less than them that I would not be surprised if they have more wins than Atlanta.
Okay.
We'll talk as we go when you can assess whether I agree or whether you agree or not agree when we get to those teams, Mike. All right.
All right. Well, next year you have Trae Young on the Knicks and I have Trae Young on the Timberwolves. By the way, we already probably have one guy wrong on our list, because we both had Dame Lillard with the Heat. So the odds of him being on the Heat on September 19th, 2024, I'd say are pretty low. So we might already have lost that one. But we'll see.
0 for 1.
But right. Trae Young, we got him on. We each have him on a different team a year from now. So we'll see.
All right. Okay. Next team, the Boston Celtics, Mike. They have added the big names, Drew Holiday, Porzingis, and Cleveland Cavalier legend Lamar Stevens.
There you go.
They have lost Brogdon, Danilo Gallinari, Blake Griffin, Marcus Smart, Grant Williams, and Robert Williams. Minus Blake Griffin and Gallinari because he was, I think, hurt a lot of last year, right? He was hurt a lot of last year.
Gallinari didn't play at all last year.
Yeah, so I thought. So, like, minus Blake Griffin and Gallinari, all those guys were rotational guys, like important pieces to the Boston cog. Listen, Boston now has the highest win total on DraftKings. Their over-under is 55.5. Okay. Obviously, the addition to Drew Holiday is huge for Boston. I think, you know, Porzingis is an interesting piece. If Drew Holiday is as good a defender as he's been, him and Jaylen Brown and, you know, even Tatum, that's pretty good. I don't know that Al Horford's defense is up to snuff at his age, but, you know, we'll see, I suppose. But listen, Boston's clearly now a favorite in the East with Milwaukee. Those are the two teams. Those are the two favorites. Unsurprisingly, they have the two highest win totals. But Boston in the whole NBA, Boston has a win total of 55.5. I think last year, Mike, they were like 50.5 and I said under, and then they ended up over that. Here's what I'm going to say. 55.5 seems like a lot to go over. However, when you look at the bottom teams in the East, specifically the teams that they're going to play a lot, Charlotte, because they're in the same division.
Wizards are in their division.
The Wizards are in their division. I believe the Nets are in their division and the Knicks are in their division. They are clearly better than all those teams. And I just don't see a world that they don't, you know, get to that win total. So I'm going to be crazy here, Mike. I'm going to say over. I'm going to say over 55.5. I think they're like a 57 win team.
I think that Boston and Milwaukee have separated themselves from the rest of the Eastern Conference. I think when you're looking at these two teams, you're looking at the only way they don't finish 1-2 in the conference is if there is injury issues, which clearly we're probably going to discuss that with every team. You have Porzingis, who has a history of not staying healthy. I think everybody else on the Celtics, pretty much good injury history. Horford's getting older, as you stated, probably still good in spurts, but at some point, as if he hasn't already, is going to continue to slow down, at least to some degree. I think when you look at the Celtics and you think about the Jrue Holiday trade, obviously that's a huge pickup for the Celtics. I think you're basically looking at, you're taking the Malcolm Brogdon minutes and the Marcus Smart minutes, and you're turning those into Jrue Holiday minutes. I think Jrue Holiday, despite the fact that offensively he can be a little shaky at times, I still feel like he's probably a better offensive player than Marcus Smart. And defensively, I think the two of them are probably night to night fairly comparable, both in terms of their effectiveness, but also in terms of just the types of players that they can guard. They both can guard bigger players credibly, and they can also guard guys that are smaller than them. So I think Jrue effectively replaces Marcus Smart, and then the question becomes, is Porzingis an upgrade, what he brings on the offensive end of the floor? And defensively, I mean, again, he's 7'3" or whatever he is, and when he's moving well, he can be a good defender. I don't think he's as impactful as Robert Williams, but he can be, especially when you talk about the guys that are going to be surrounding him. I think he can be a good rim deterrent for the Celtics. So to me, it comes down to if Porzingis can stay healthy, I think this team's going to win a lot of games in the regular season, because they've been good for the last 5, 6, 7 years, and there's no reason to think that Tatum and Brown aren't going to continue to get incrementally better. And Jrue Holiday is kind of plug and play. I mean, what he does fits in with the Celtics just like he would have fit in with numerous other teams, which is why I'm sure that lots of other teams were kicking the tires on Holiday and making offers before Portland decided to take the Celtics offer. So I think with Boston, clearly, if you look at their top six guys, I mean, that's probably the best top six in the league if they're all healthy. The question is, are they healthy? I think the one question that I would have is offensively, none of those guys are primarily a playmaker, a creator for other people. I mean, Jaylen Brown, you think about his difficulties handling the ball, and he's always been like a one-to-one assist to turnover guy.
Yep.
Tatum as a playmaker has continuously gotten better, but I don't think he's reached the highest level of being a playmaker and a guy who creates for other people. Jrue Holiday is certainly a step below being that guy that you just put the ball in his hands, let him go. I think that was one of the problems in Milwaukee with their half-court offenses, which is why they're so excited to have Lillard, who is on the complete opposite end of that spectrum. He's about as good as you can get at that particular thing. Derek White, again, not a guy that you think of as being necessarily a huge distributor and playmaker. So I think that's the one question you have with the Boston offense is, do they have a guy that can set other guys up, or do they just have a bunch of scoring guys who are kind of like, okay, my turn, your turn. And is that what it's going to become? I don't know the answer to that, but I think if they bog down at all on offense, I think that's where it's going to be. I mean, this team should be really, really good on offense. I'm sorry, on defense. And who knows in the playoffs what happens, right? Because if we're talking about a potential Bucks-Celtics Eastern Conference championship, which if you look on paper today, that's probably what you'd have to say is the most likely outcome. The Celtics always use Rob Williams and Grant Williams to deter Giannis. Williams kind of playing off the backside as the help guy, and Grant Williams getting minutes trying to stop Giannis. Not that anybody ever stops him, but to your point that you made, Horford, another year older, he's been effective, at least mildly, against Giannis. I'm not sure that you want to throw Porzingis on Giannis. I'm not sure that you want to have Tatum on him very much. So that's the question, I think, coming into the playoffs. But in the regular season, that's not going to matter. I'm going to agree with you and say they're going to go over.
Oh, man. Two for two on agreements. All right.
They didn't give up too much for Holiday, right?
Yeah.
You're good with what they gave up for Holiday.
They clearly needed to shake things up. Yeah.
You got to go for it.
All right, Mike, we're at 22 minutes. We've done two teams, and I know my game took 8 minutes. So,
well, we got one team that was involved in the trade, so we're good.
Yeah. All right, next one. The Brooklyn Nets. When I look at the names of people they've added, Lonnie Walker and Dennis Smith Jr. and Darius Baisley are the three names that I recognize. The rest of the team I don't recognize. They lost Seth Curry. They lost Patty Mills. They lost Joe Harris. They lost Yuta Watanabe. I recognize that guy's name. I see these as maybe they're slightly worse than they were last season. Obviously, everyone else has stayed the same. They still have Bridges and Claxton and Dinwiddie. This team isn't jumping off the paper as a team that I'm really scared of, but I think they're around 500. Their over-under total is 37.5. I think they're going to be right there in the same spot that Atlanta's in. Around the same area, around the 500 mark. And once again, just the top teams in the East are just really good. And this is kind of a middling team. This kind of gives me Washington Wizards in the mid-2000s vibes. All right. They're going to be competitive. They'll win some games that you're like, why did they win that game? And then they're going to lose some games. Like, how the heck did they lose that game? I mean, all NBA teams do that, but I just feel like that's probably very likely for this Nets team. I'm going to go there with their 37.5. I'm going to go slightly over, Mike. All right,
so it comes down to
37.5.
Well, actually three. First a statement and then three questions. So number one is, when you look at the Brooklyn Nets record from last year, you have to take it with a grain of salt because whatever, a third of the season, a half of the season was played with Durant and Kyrie, where they ran off that streak of, I don't know, in 20 games, they were like 18-2 or something. And then once those two guys were traded out the door, they sort of cratered. So that's just a statement. So I think when you look at their over-under total, I think you have to take that into account, which I think DraftKings probably did. But it comes down to, if you're talking about the Brooklyn Nets, question number one is, do you believe in Mikal Bridges as a number one guy, and how far can he take you as your best player? So that's question number one. Number two, Ben Simmons is still on this roster. And do we think that Ben Simmons can contribute to this team in any meaningful way? And then I guess the third thing would be, Brooklyn does have a lot of picks that they were able to acquire in the Durant trade that theoretically, being a New York team, they could at some point during the season make a trade and try to bring somebody in to improve their current roster and push themselves up the standing. So I think it comes down to, do you believe in Bridges and Simmons, and then the potential for Brooklyn to make a trade at some point? So I would say on the trade front, I don't see this team being good enough to do something in season unless something really falls in their lap. I don't see them as being one player away. So it seems unlikely that they're going to trade, but they certainly have the capital to be able to do that. Bridges, I'm not buying him as a number one player on a team that's going to finish in the top five in a conference. I think Mikal Bridges is a really good player. I think he's a great number three, and he could probably be at some point a good number two. But I don't think he's your best player on a team that's going to win 45 or 50 games. Not that they have to get over, but I just don't see that. And then as far as Ben Simmons goes, I mean, at this point, you could pretty much tell us anything, and he can talk about this or that or the other thing, but until he gets out on the floor.
He feels 100% healthy, Mike.
Feels 100% healthy. And look, I hope he comes back. I hope he's able to come back and be the player that he was in his first couple of years in the league, and that he rebuilds his confidence. And look, he's never going to fulfill what he potentially could be if he was able to shoot the ball at all. But if you could go back to third team all NBA Ben Simmons, who's running the break, who's one of the most physically dominant guys because of his ability to handle the ball and get to the rim and his tremendous passing ability, if you could tap back into that, suddenly you've got a guy that is a valuable player. I just don't know. I've said it before that once you lose that confidence and going to the free throw line and you get inside your own head, it's really, really hard to come back from that. And to me, until he shows me that, I just don't see it. So I think Brooklyn, I'm going to go under with Brooklyn.
All right. You think they're going to be right around like that?
Yeah. They're not going to win 25 games unless somebody gets hurt, but I don't see them. I mean, I don't think they're going to win 45 either.
Okay. All right. Okay, the next team, a team that's definitely not going to win 45, the Charlotte Hornets. Their biggest outs are Kelly Oubre and Dennis Smith Jr. Their biggest in, probably Miles Bridges being back, and Brandon Miller. Listen, you'd have to argue if Miles Bridges is good at basketball still and he's not making dumb decisions. Oh, the over-under for this team is 31.5. You think they would be better, right? You would think they're going to be better this year. Would you agree with that statement? They have to be. Now, that's a hypothetical statement because we haven't seen Miles Bridges play basketball in a year.
Well, and LaMelo was out for a ton of the season too. So you got to think they should be better.
Yeah. It would be pretty comical if they were better this year after the Jordan sold them.
Yeah, that could be. That could be.
Here's the thing. I think they're probably going to go over 31.5. I think barely. I don't think this is a playoff team by any stretch of the imagination. But I think they could go over. I think there's a team here that's listed as a 5 wins higher than them that I don't know. I haven't looked and seen what they've added. I just know what they've lost, and I just don't see how they're going to have this many wins. So I'm going to say Charlotte's going to go over, Mike. LaMelo is back. Miles Bridges is back. Brandon Miller, I don't know if he's an NBA player or going to be a good NBA player. You'd like to think so since he was a top pick. He seems to like to foul people. So I don't know. He's got a little Jaren Jackson Jr. in him maybe. So I'm going to go over though. I think they're going to be better. There's no way that they can't be better this year. So I'm going to say they're over.
All right. This comes down to LaMelo. I mean, if you think LaMelo is going to be a guy who's going to be a star and a guy who's going to be somebody that you can build a team around, then LaMelo ought to be able to get this team past 31 wins. But I don't know.
You're going to go under, aren't you?
I'm going to go under. I don't see it. Like Miles Bridges, you can say whatever you want about him coming back, but I mean, I don't know. It just feels like you bring that guy back into your locker room after what he's done, and you try to pair him back up with LaMelo. You got Gordon Hayward. Is he going to be healthy? Odds are no. PJ Washington, they re-signed, got him back for a decent contract. He's a good player. Mark Williams, second year out of Duke. Scary Terry is still there. If Brandon Miller's good and he meshes with LaMelo, then maybe. But it doesn't seem like Brandon Miller is going to come out of the gate and be a guy that's going to put up 20 points and 5 rebounds and 5 assists. He doesn't seem like he's going to be that kind of guy. I don't believe in Melo as at this point in his career. I just don't believe in him as a winning player. I just don't think that his style of play and what he does leads to winning. He might be fun to watch, and he's one of the best passers in the league when he's passing, but he feels like at this point in his career, and maybe it'll change as he gets surrounded by better players, if he ever gets surrounded by better players. But LaMelo kind of feels like a good stats, bad team guy right now. I hate to say it, but I'm not a believer in LaMelo, so I'm going to go under on the Hornets.
Okay. All right, next up, the Chicago Bulls. When I look at who they've added, Torrey Craig is like the only thing. I guess Javon Carter, but I don't know if that's really worth it. And someone naming him. Would you be able to pick Javon Carter out of a lineup, Mike?
Yeah, I'd be able to pick him out.
He's bald, right? He's a bald guy.
Bald. Yeah, he's bald. He's bald, short. I mean, short.
Yeah, they lost Patrick Beverley. And Derek Jones Jr. Listen, this team right here is one of the teams that I don't understand. Like, Caruso is good. DeRozan is good. Lonzo Ball, is he even playing? He's not playing this year, right?
He's out. No, he's out. He's out for the whole
year. Listen, Zach LaVine. Listen, I'm selling on this team, Mike. I'm selling on the Chicago Bulls. Their over-under is 37.5. I think they're under. I don't buy this team. DeRozan's the only player on this team that I'm even kind of scared of. Zach LaVine is, I'm out. I'm out on the Chicago Bulls and this iteration of the Chicago Bulls. Gone are the days of Jordan. Gone are the days of Derrick Rose.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gone are the days of Jordan as the owner, let alone the owner of the Hornets, let alone the owner, the player for the Bulls.
I just don't buy the Chicago Bulls. I'm not buying their stock. I'm saying under 37.5.
Okay. So here's what I'll say. I think that you look at what the Bulls have, and you can cobble together what is seemingly a decent lineup that you're like, okay, I could see where that team could give some teams some trouble. And they got, I guess you're looking at Caruso as their main defender, and Dosunmu also is a pretty good defender. But then you're looking at guys who are primarily offensive players, and Vucevic and DeRozan and Zach LaVine. And one thing I will say about Zach LaVine, last year he started off slow, had the knee that was giving him problems. And then as the year went on, he sort of regained the form that he had prior to that tweaking that knee injury that kind of sapped some of his explosiveness. But we were starting to see that come back at the end of the season. I look at their team, and even though their team is not one that I think is a team that is a threat to win around in the playoffs, I do think it's a team that is full of guys who are competent players. And I think when you start talking about being competent and you look at 37.5 as their over under, I could see them winning 38 games with this group. I mean, LaVine and DeRozan, both of those guys could average 25 a game. And is that enough? I don't know, but I don't see this team being completely terrible unless, as always with all these teams, injuries. So I'm going to go over on the Bulls.
All right, Mike. Your Cleveland Cavaliers, the third highest win total. Yes, Mike, you just heard that correctly. The third highest win total in the Eastern Conference. They have more, according to DraftKings, They have more win. They're higher. They have a higher threshold than Miami and the 76ers. Just putting that out there.
It's fair.
Cleveland Cavaliers have added Imani Bates, Gorgui Jang, Damian Jones, Max Strus.
No, they added George Niang, not Gorgui Jang.
George Niang. That's not going to be the first time I'm going to do that. Gorgui or last
Jang.
Time.
No, you're gonna be like, Gorgui Jang hit a three to win the game. I'll be like, no, it's George Niang. Sorry.
And they brought back Tristan Thompson from whatever ESPN hole he was going in.
That's a good one.
And they lost Danny Green, Robin Lopez, Chetty Osman, Lamar Stevens, Dylan Windler. I can't even call him a loss. He hardly even played.
He's with the New York Knicks. Dylan Windler. There's no way that guy can make a roster again. He can't make the Knicks, can he?
Maybe the 15th there's guy, no, I suppose.
There's no way. Come on.
Anyways.
No offense, Dylan Windler.
No, yeah. Dude, so bottom line is this, Mike. The Cavs have an over-under of 50.5. You would think, like 50.5, okay? The only two teams in the Eastern Conference that have a higher win total are Boston and Milwaukee. If everybody's healthy, we get there, I think, right? Like everyone stays healthy. I think we get there. But I'm not a buyer that we're going to stay healthy, Mike. Because we are – I've been watching the Cleveland Browns play football, and they're all getting injured.
All right, well, whose health don't you believe in?
Well, let's see. I mean, Rubio's not playing at all. Mental health stuff, seems like. Darius Garland seems to get little injuries all the time.
Darius gets nicked up.
Mobley got nicked up a few times last year, right? Donovan Mitchell is going to probably get nicked up a little bit throughout the season because he did as well. Jared Allen got like a concussion last year and was out for an ungodly amount of time, I feel like. Right? Didn't he have a concussion like in the middle of the season last year? I feel like he did.
I believe you, man. I don't feel like this team is super injury prone. I mean, I feel like they've had some minor things and people kept poking Garland in the eye last year. But I feel like for the most part, they've been pretty healthy, I would say, overall.
I'm going to be pessimistic, Mike. I'm going to say we're not going to get to 50, over 50.5. I think we're going to be under. I think we're going to 50-32 or 49-33. I think 50s are – I would love to say they could go 82-0, Mike. I would love to say that. That ain't happening. And when I know that we're playing Milwaukee four times, and we're probably playing Boston three times, like I would love to say in those six games we win three of them. I think we would take that, right, Mike? If we we go 3-3. But I'm going under, barely, but I'm going under.
So last year in the East, there was four teams that won over 50 games. Cavs won 51, Sixers won 54, Celtics won 57, Bucks won 58. So you're basically saying, can the Cavs equal their record of last season? I mean, I think we're both going to argue that probably the Bucks and Celtics are better, but I don't know that they win any more regular season games than what they won last year, 58 and 57. Just the way with teams resting players and even with the new rules that the league has imposed to try to prevent that, I don't see either one of these teams are not an up-and-coming team that you say they're going to really push to try to win as many regular season games as they can. They may try to push if it gets close at the end where maybe the one team wants home court advantage over the other. But otherwise, neither Milwaukee or Boston is going to be motivated to try to win 65 games. So I think they're going to settle in probably about where they were last year. Philly, I don't see any way they get to 54 wins with what they have right now. And they're not going to be able to trade Harden, which we'll talk about. They're not going to be able to trade him for anything that's going to really help them. So whatever. I think the Cavs, if they only match their win total from last year, it sounds like it'll be, I think it'll be disappointing, not necessarily in just the number, but I think you want to see them make progress. And look, the playoff series against the Knicks was very disturbing on a lot of levels. And I think that's sort of cast a shadow over what this team was last year and could still potentially be in the future. I think as a regular season team, I think they're a difficult matchup. I think that they have Allen and Mobley at the back end to protect the rim. You've got scoring in Garland and Mitchell. I think Strus has added a piece of shooting that they didn't have before. I think they're in better position to be a good regular season team. I'm still a little dubious that the small backcourt can't be exploited in the playoffs, but regular season, I'm going to go over on the Cavs. I think Mobley's going to take another step. I don't know if he's going to take a step to the point where he's going to be a 22 points a game guy on offense, but I think we're going to see him continue to make progress. And Mitchell should have another great regular season. Garland's only getting better. I think this team still has room, lots of room for individual improvement. And I think that team-wise, they filled some of the holes. What went out, I don't think is nearly as important as what's come in. So I think they're going to go over. Over.
I hope you're right, Mike. I hope you're right.
Hey, Hoopheads Nation, whether you're a beginner basketball player looking for a place to start or a seasoned vet looking to level up your skills, I want to tell you about your new go-to secret weapon. It's called Train. Train is a basketball training and education platform that gives you on-demand access to premium basketball courses created by expert coaches and trainers from around the world. Want to get better at blowing by your defender? Learn setup drills with NBA and international pro trainer Marius Williams, or how to use the punch drag with NBA trainer Kerry Darting. Looking to level up your catch-and-shoot skills? Practice space shooting workouts with former lead female trainer for Kobe Bryant's Mamba League, San Dixon. Or if you're just starting out, learn the basics of shooting and finishing at the basket from international champion, three-time Romanian Player of the Year, and Train co-founder, Vlad Moldovanu. Train has 32 and counting actionable, expert-led, on-demand basketball training courses that teach you exactly how to improve your ball handling, shooting, attacking, and more. For a limited time, Hoopheads listeners get 35% off monthly, annual, and lifetime plans. Just go to gotrainbasketball.com/hoopheads to learn more and sign up for a free 7-day trial.
All right, next up, this team I'm not going to have much to say. Detroit Pistons. They have added Joe Harris. And Thompson, the one Thompson brother. They have lost Corey Joseph and Rodney Magruder are the two names that I've heard of all these guys actually, except for Eugene. I didn't even know there was a Eugene in the NBA, but I've heard of this. Listen, Detroit's over under is 28.5. I mean, they're going to be better because Cade's back, right? He's back. But how long is he back for? Because when we're talking injury prone, Cade's injury prone. He's been injured both years he's played, right, Mike?
He had some minor issues his first year. And then last year, obviously, he missed the entire season. So
I mean, he's not as injury prone as Zion, but he doesn't have a track record of Zion. Sorry, that might be the only opportunity I have to get Zion into this podcast for you, Mike.
There you go.
But over-under is 28.5, but I really don't know that this team's improved itself very much. Like, I guess, does the head coach count?
I mean, does he want to be there, or is he just there because they paid him $12 million?
All the Deshaun Watson situation.
I mean, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like, it seemed like Monty Williams wanted to take a year off, and then they just gave him so much money. He's like, ah, heck with it. I'll just go to Detroit. Doesn't seem like a really great way to go into a job.
The question is he going to win them a few games, Monty Williams, that they wouldn't have won otherwise? I mean,
I don't know.
What's his win above replacement as a coach? I don't know.
I wouldn't think it's super high. I mean, I'm not saying Monty Williams is a bad coach because I don't think he is. I think he's probably an above average NBA coach, but I don't see him as being one of those guys that makes a difference.
So I'm going to say 28 and a half. That's a low number, Mike. It's a low number. But I'm going to say they're going to go below that, Mike. I think they're
going to
be
over on Detroit. I'm going over.
I went over on Detroit last year and I got burned. So I'm going.
So here's why. I think, well, one, you're obviously betting on Cade Cunningham's health. So that goes with any other team. If your best player gets injured, then clearly any team on this list that if their best player goes down, they're probably going to go under. So I'm going to bet on Cade Cunningham to be healthy and bet on him to continue to get better and be an improved version of what we saw during his rookie season. And then you just look at the rest of their roster, like Jalen Duren, great year last year as a rookie playing center, is only going to get better. I think he's 20 years old, going to get better. Jaden Ivey, solid first year, going to be better. James Wiseman, probably can't be any worse. Maybe you get something out of him. Isaiah Stewart, good player. Bagley, can you get anything out of him? Bogdanovich, we know, a guy who can shoot. Joe Harris can shoot. Asor Thompson, from what everybody says, is going to be a guy that you can plug in, and he's going to be able to play a role, and with his athleticism, be able to play on the defensive end of the floor. I think, to me, this is just a bet that Cade sort of is the organizing principle on this team and that he's going to be good. And as you said, 28 and a half feels like a low number. I think Detroit's going to get past that.
Okay. Fair. All right. I'm going to try to pick the pace up a little bit here, Mike.
Sounds good.
All right. Indiana Pacers.
Yep.
They added Bruce Brown and Obi Toppin. They lost Chris Duarte and George Hill. And I guess James Johnson, but this team's good, Mike. They have Haliburton. They have Hield. They have Mathurin. They added, you know, Bruce Brown, good. Miles Turner, good. Their over-under is inexplicably 38 and a half. I think this team is better than Atlanta. I think this team is better than Atlanta, Mike. I don't understand the four. This is the team that I was talking about. Don't understand how Indiana has four less wins projected, unless they're just hedging on Atlanta bet. I mean, they do set the over unders based on what they want to get for bets. I understand that. Okay, but how could anyone say that Indiana is projected to win four less games than Atlanta? I don't understand that. I think this team is better than Atlanta. I'm going to go over. I feel comfortable in saying they're going to be over 38 and a half wins. I think this is a potential like 5 or 6 seed, depending, in my opinion. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before on the podcast, but I think this could be a 5 or a 6 seed. And I would not be surprised if they ended up at 42, 43 wins, honestly. I think they're a solid team. Mathurin was great last year as a rookie, and I think he's going to be even better this year. So I'm going to say over for Indiana, Mike.
So I think if you're talking about comparing him with Atlanta, you're talking about, would you rather build your team around Tyrese Haliburton or would you rather build your team around Trae Young? And I think I know how I would answer that question, and I feel pretty confident you would answer the question in the same way. And then, as you said, you look down the Pacers roster, and they just have a lot of competent dudes that can play. I mean, they're going to be in the regular season. They're pretty deep. They're going to be able to go 9-10 guys deep pretty easily. And that's not even to say if Jarace Walker from Houston as a rookie. Who knows what he's going to bring? If he's good, and they just have a lot of guys. I mean, you got Tice, you got Jordan Nwora, who was in Milwaukee, who didn't get a lot of run there, but that was on a veteran team. And I know people there in Milwaukee thought pretty highly of him. And so he's there. You got Nesmith, who kind of was resurrected after he got out of Boston. Nembhard, who was a second round draft pick, I believe, or maybe he was picked at the end of the first round. I feel like he was a second round pick, really played well. And there was a lot of talk that maybe Mathurin would come off the bench and maybe Nembhard would start. So they just have a lot of depth, this team. And it still comes down to me that Halliburton is just a guy that people are going to want to play with. He plays the game the right way. He plays both ends of the floor. He distributes the ball. He's going to be a perennial all-star, I think, from this point moving forward in his career. And he's a guy that you can build a team around. Now, whether he's a number one, I don't know, but maybe he's a number two guy and just a number two that's somebody that can do everything and do everything well. So I like this team. I'm going to go over as well.
All right, sweet. All right, the next team, the Miami Heat. In Thomas Bryant, RJ Hampton, Josh Richardson, Jimmy Butler.
I got nothing on that one, man. That was ridiculous. that was ridiculous.
They lost. They lost Oladipo, Strus, Gabe Vincent, Cody Zeller, Udonis Haslem. Listen, their over under total is 46.5. I'm going under, Mike. I don't see this. I don't see 46.5 wins. This team has gotten, by all accounts, worse. They did not get Jimmy Butler, or they did not get Dame Lillard. When your biggest get is Josh Richardson and Thomas Bryant? Listen, I know Hero's going to be healthy for now. He's injured all the time. Butler plays through injury, so I don't even really worry about him being, unless he's like severely injured, he's a dog and he'll play through it. I don't know, but maybe he's emo now, so maybe he won't. Bam, you know, I just don't. And I know Jovic played great, and Kevin Love is still there, and Kyle Lowry is still there. But listen, none of these guys are making me say, "Oh, this team's going to get to 47 wins." I just don't believe them. Under.
Absolutely, that's an under, man. I mean, I don't even know how you make a case for this team winning 47 games. There's just no way. I mean, you lost two starters, and your team, look, they caught lightning in a bottle. Give them all the credit in the world. They played out of their minds against Milwaukee, especially Butler. Then you had the Cavs crap the bed against the Knicks, and so you get to play the Knicks. Then you go toe-to-toe with Boston and beat them in seven. And Boston, man, got to be kicking themselves. And then take a game from the Nuggets and make that a competitive series. But man, I just don't see how this team cobbles together 47 wins. It feels like they're very creaky. I mean, Caleb Martin turns into a guy that can't miss a shot against the Celtics. Duncan Robinson barely played during the regular season, and then they dusted him off at times in the playoffs and he came through and played well. I guess you could say they're bringing Hero back into the fold, which theoretically should help, but they probably played better without him in the playoffs. Was that because he wasn't there, or was that because other guys just stepped their game up? Who knows? I don't know. But I don't think that this team, as constituted, I don't think Jimmy Butler is as good of a regular season player in terms of a guy who's going to carry you to X number of wins just because he's on your team. I think he's a guy more that rises to the occasion in the playoffs. And so I don't see them getting to 47 wins. I would be very, very surprised. I'd be very surprised. So under.
All right, sweet. All right, it's time. Milwaukee Bucks. They added Dame Lillard. I don't need to talk about any of the other guys. Malik Beasley.
Yeah.
Robin Lopez is back. Sideshow Bob. They lost Grace. They lost Grayson Allen, Javon Carter, Goran Dragic, Drew Holiday, Joe Ingles, Myers Leonard, and Wesley Matthews. Listen, their over-under total is 54.5. Provided that Dame stays healthy and that the Milwaukee Bucks don't tell him he has to fake an injury and sit out 10 games, I'm going to go ahead and say that they're going to end up over, Mike. I think they're going to end up over. I think they're a good team. They're a really good team. And they've got – I mean, I've heard him talk about it on a few podcasts. The Giannis and Dame Lillard pick and roll is not going to be fun to defend. We'll just leave it at that. I mean, I don't know how you defend it, right? Like, if you overplay Dame, you hedge your pick, Giannis gives a dunk at the basket. If you don't hedge the bet, then Dame pulls up and hits a, 25, 27 footer from way back downtown. Interesting stat, by the way, Mike, since 2020, him and Steph Curry are 1-2 in the most shot, most 3-pointers made from 30 feet out. Do you know who number 3 is?
From 30 feet out, I would say logic would tell you it might be Trae Young, but I'm guessing that it's not Trae Young.
He's on the Cleveland Cavaliers.
So Darius?
It is Darius. Yeah. And he shoots at a higher percentage than both of them, by the way, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, so here's Milwaukee's take, right? So when you look at Milwaukee just from a general standpoint, Giannis put some pressure on him, said, hey, I'm not going to sign the extension now. If you don't show me that you're committed to winning a championship, I might leave. The Bucks responded to that by trading what was left of their draft equity plus Drew Holiday to bring in Damian Lillard. So clearly, as you already stated, Lillard makes their offense pretty difficult to defend. Let's just leave it there. I mean, as you described the pick and roll, teams are going to have a heck of a time trying to defend those two guys doing what they do best and doing it together.
Yeah.
Losing Giroux weakens their defense. You still have Giannis, who is one of the three or four most impactful defenders all over the floor in the whole league. Brook Lopez, although he's another year older, he's been consistently, since he's been a Milwaukee Buck, one of the best defenders in the league. He's just a huge person in the paint that knows where to be and is always in the right spots. Could he potentially lose a half step and maybe not be as effective on defense? It's certainly possible. They're not nearly as good at the point of attack. You can't just throw Drew Holiday on an opposing guard or wing and just say, okay, Drew's going to lock that guy up. Theoretically, if Middleton's healthy, not as good of a defender as Drew, but still a pretty good defender. I think with Milwaukee, it's going to come down to two things. Is how much does losing Drew Holiday at the point of attack and replacing him with Damian Lillard, how much does that impact what they do defensively? And are teams getting to the rim, getting around their guards, and either getting Giannis and Brook Lopez in foul trouble or force the Bucks to play and defend things a different way to sort of hide and protect Lillard in the backcourt? So that's number one on defense. And then I think number two, you have to look at and say, teams are going to put an awful lot of attention on the Giannis Lillard pick and roll, and they're probably going to commit three guys to defending that, and sometimes four and sometimes five. So can the other guys on Milwaukee, not named Damian Lillard and Giannis, knock down enough threes, whether in the regular season or eventually in the playoffs? Can Middleton, can Pat Connaughton, can Jay Crowder, can Portis, can Lopez, can those guys knock down enough threes when teams send three or four guys at the Lillard Giannis pick and roll? Can they knock down enough to make them pay for doing that? And if they can, then Milwaukee, I mean, their offense should be as good as any offense in the league, because you're almost going to have to do that. Or as you said, they're just going to slice and dice. So I like the trade for the Bucks. I think I like it on a couple levels. I like it because it placates Giannis's desire to go all in for a championship. And look, if Giannis leaves, then it really doesn't matter what draft picks you have or this or that. As the Cavs know, you only get a generational player once in a generation. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. And so you might as well sell out completely to try to make the guy happy and get him to stay and give yourself a chance to win. So I think the trade made complete sense on the Bucks side of it, just from a optic standpoint in terms of Giannis. And then when you talk about on the floor, I think the very best version and the healthy version of Damian Lillard makes their offense so much better that the weakness that was created in their defense, I think the difference in how much their defense has gone down versus how much potentially their offense could go up, I think the offensive boost is worth way more than the defensive downgrade that you're getting when you're removing Drew from their lineup. So I like this all the way around for Milwaukee. I just think that this team has been really good in the regular season. They've had some weird things happen to them in the playoffs. They obviously won the title, beating Phoenix a couple of years ago. And Giannis is still the best or the second best player in the league, no matter how you slice it. And so you pair him with Lillard. And I think 54.5, I think they're going to win more than that.
Yep. All right. The New York Knicks.
They added Dante DiVincenzo, Charlie Brown Jr. And no, that's not a lie. Charlie Brown Jr.
All right.
And Dylan Windler.
Okay. Nice work.
They lost Derrick Rose and Obi Toppin and some, two other guys I don't know. Listen, I think this team, I mean, is Dante DiVincenzo better than Derrick Rose and Obi Toppin?
I like DiVincenzo. He's fine.
I like DiVincenzo. He's better than Derrick Rose. I don't know about Obi Toppin. I think they're not the same player. But I think New York Knicks, their over-under is 45.5, Mike. I think they're going to be right there. I think they're slightly above 500. It all comes down to, does Jalen Brunson continue to play at the level he played last season? Does RJ Barrett continue to kind of get better? Does the rest of the team do well? And does Tibbs like run them into the ground at some point during the season? I don't know. This is the first one I don't feel comfortable with, Mike. You make your arguments, and then I'll think.
Okay, so you hit on a couple of things. One, Brunson has to continue to be at the same level that he's been, or continue to get better in that role. RJ Barrett theoretically should still be getting better. Julius Randle, I'd say he's probably peaked. Emmanuel Quickley probably still has room to get better. Quentin Grimes probably still has room to get better. Mitchell Robinson probably has room to get better. They're going to have Josh Hart for the entire season. I think this team gained some confidence in what they did in the playoffs last year. And so I think this team, although I don't love the construction of it, and I'm not sure that I love what each of these individual guys bring to the table, I think they're all kind of flawed in some weird way. Like they're not a pretty team to watch. Like there's nobody that you're like, man, this guy just is so fun to watch. I mean, Brunson kind of has the power game, and he gets into the lane and he can use his footwork and his bulk to be able to get shots. And I guess that's kind of fun to watch, but I'm not sure this team is all that watchable. But I do think that they have good players. I do think they have guys who are going to get better. And to me, I think this team had to gain a ton of confidence with what they did against the Cavaliers in the playoffs. And so I think they're going to go over that, not by a big margin, but I think they get over 45.5.
I'll go with you, Mike. You convinced me. There you go. All right.
There we go.
All right. Next team, the Orlando Magic. They added Anthony Black, Joe Ingles, the slam dunk champion, Mac McClung. I mean, what else am I supposed to call him?
Good work, Mac.
They lost Bol Bol. Oh, no. And Michael Carter Williams. Their over-under total is 36.5, Mike. This is another team that I think's better. I'm buying the Orlando Magic, Mike. I am buying them. I don't know what I feel good about the Orlando Magic, but there's just something. I feel like Markelle Fultz is gonna. He's not injured, is he? Is Fultz injured right now?
I believe he's not injured. I do not believe he's injured.
Paolo, I believe in Paolo. I believe in Markelle Fultz. The Wagners. Okay. Suggs, Cole Anthony, all these guys are dudes, man. They're dudes. Now, is that going to translate to wins? I don't know. I just feel good about Orlando. So what the heck? I'm going to say they're going to go over 36.5. I think they're going to be fighting for that play-in tournament, Mike. The Orlando Magic fighting for the play-in tournament. And they, listen, we know they have been in the depths of despair and terribleness for the last, I don't even know. When was the last time they were good? Dwight Howard was on their team, right? Like, honestly.
2009. Yeah, I mean, where they've
been beat really the Cavs?
Semi-relevant. Yeah, when they've been semi-relevant, for sure. Okay,
so listen, they've been in the doldrums. Like, we've been in the doldrums of summer. They were in the doldrums of the NBA for, like, many, many years. It's time for the Orlando Magic to bring the Magic back. Okay? They're going to bring the Magic back. And I'm going to say they're going over 36.5 wins.
Abracadabra, Orlando, going over. I'm going over, too.
Hey!
Now, I'm looking at my list, though. The problem is I only have four teams under right now, so that's not good.
I'm not sure it's possible. Mine's pretty split, I think, evenly, right? I think I'm pretty.
You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have 5 unders, and I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4. So you have 1 more under than me.
Well, here's a little hint, Mike. The rest of mine are all going under.
Okay, well, this next one, man. If we're trying to come up with a lock, I don't care what the number is. If you tell me the number is 20, I'm going under.
Well, the Philadelphia 76ers. This says stay, James Harden.
I
hope he shows up in emo outfit. That would be pretty good. Man. That would be pretty good. He could have a ponytail. And anyways,
whatever. Okay.
They added Mo Bamba, Patrick Beverley, Danny Green's back, Kelly Oubre. None of these guys are making me excited. They lost Shake Milton. They lost Mac McClung. They lost George Niang, not Gorgui Jang.
Yeah, okay. There you go. Good work.
Yeah. All right. So they're over under, Mike. You want to take a stab? I want to guess the line. Guess the line. Okay. What's their over under?
Okay, so I'm looking at you got – they're not up by Boston, Milwaukee. They're below the Cavs. They got to be – see, here's the thing. Is for some – I don't understand how – sometimes I feel like we're like on a complete island when it comes to James Harden. Like I don't understand how people are still speculating like the Clippers might trade them actual things for James Harden. Why would you want the guy? I mean, at this point, he should be unemployed. Like, nobody should want him. I wouldn't pay him the veteran's minimum if I could sign him as a free agent. I wouldn't want the guy anywhere near my team, and I don't know who would. So I guess if I'm going, I'm going to say their over-under is, let's go 49.5,
Mike.
Oh my God. Well, see, here's where we're making up for all the other overs. Under
capital
letters. Under in capital letters.
Mike,
I may have to place a little wager here. Like I can't imagine them getting to 50 wins. There's no way.
Well, the only case for them getting to 50 wins, right, is that Joel Embiid was the MVP last year and that he repeats his MVP performance and that Tyrese Maxey takes a huge step forward and becomes the de facto James Harden in that duo. But even if that happens, the odds of Embiid playing 65, 70 games, I would say, is pretty slim. I don't think Maxey is the same type of player. Maxey may end up being a very good scoring guard, which he probably already is. I don't know that I see him developing into a guy that is a two-way 25-point-a-game scorer who also distributes and does lots of things that help contribute to winning. I think Tyrese Maxey is a good player, but I think he's going to be overburdened as the second-best player on a team. There's no way James Harden contributes in any meaningful way to this team. I just don't see how, if Philly doesn't trade him, that he stays and he ends up becoming a productive member of the team. I mean, he's either going to have the fat suit on, he's going to be playing one game out of every three, he's going to be doing who knows what. I mean, I seriously have no idea. And the fact that any team or any commentator or anybody is still talking about the fact that there might be a James Harden trade out there. There is no James Harden trade out there. Honestly, I'm being completely serious. I would not take the guy on my team for the veterans minimum. If he said, hey, I want to come to Cleveland and I'll sign for whatever, $2.5 million or $3 million or whatever that salary is at this point, I seriously would not want the guy. No. I don't want him because what does he do? Maybe he helps you win some games in the regular season if he's engaged. He's not going to come through when you need him most. No bottom feeding teams want him. I've been over this a million times. Harden's a clown. If he's on your team, you're not going to win. And he's sabotaged their whole season. So I hope they just make him sit. I hope they don't trade him. I hope he doesn't play. I hope we never see him again on an NBA court. Done. Under.
Okay. The next team, Mike, we got two more to go here. It's a supersized version of the... we got the Toronto Raptors, Mike. They added Grady Dick as a freshman or as a rookie. Dennis Schroeder. I said his name right. His name correct.
Nice work. Mike. Fresh off his FIBA MVP. You better put some respect on his name.
They lost Fred VanVleet and Will Barton. Listen, this team's over-under is 36.5, Mike. This is another team I just don't believe in. I don't believe in the Toronto Raptors. And maybe I'm crazy, but I just don't believe in them. New head coach. Who's their head coach again? Or it's the second year, right? The guy.
Who is their head coach? That's a great question.
Isn't it the guy from Milwaukee? Hold on. Raptor head coach. I couldn't. Raptor head.
I've drawn a complete blank.
I typed in Raptor head and I'm getting Jurassic Park. Darko Rajovic.
Okay.
I don't even know who that guy is.
All right. Well, Toronto won 41 games last year.
Oh, he was an assistant for Memphis the last 4 years.
Okay.
I don't believe in this team, Mike. They lost their heart and soul, Mike. Fred VanVleet. I mean, that's fair. When I look at Pascal Siakam, do I see leader? The answer is no.
Scottie Barnes? Just turning it over to Scottie Barnes? No.
Overrated rookie of the year. Should have never won it.
Agreed.
It's ridiculous. That's going to go down. You know, the crime that LeBron didn't win other MVPs, that one's going to be a crime that's going to be in the annals of Cleveland Cavalier history. How did Evan Mobley not win Rookie of the Year that year? Sorry. Scotty Barnes. Give me a break. Under Toronto, under.
Oh man. I mean, that number is low. I mean, this team has, they have some good players. I do think Van Vliet was kind of their organizing principle. So you wonder how they reorient. Like, are you going to just kind of give Scotty Barnes the ball and let him be the point guard? I don't really know. I mean, I look at their win total and I mean, I feel like, I don't know, man. It's hard for me to see that they're going to be, that they're only going to win 36 games, this team. This is a tough one because I feel like maybe because I have Philly at 20 wins, maybe that makes up for all these other overs that I have. But, no, I'm just kidding. I think MB is probably worth more than 20. But I got to go over. I think they're going to win more than 36.
Okay.
I think they're going to win. Not many more. But that's a pretty low number for Toronto.
Last but not least, the Washington Wizards. They lost Bradley Beal, Monte Morris, Kendrick Nunn, Kristaps Porzingis. They added Jordan Poole, Landry Shamet, and a bunch of other garbage. The Washington Wizards, the lowest
number. What's this number?
Okay, do you want to take a stab at it, Blake? It's the lowest 20, Eastern Conference number.
21 and a half.
24 and a half.
Oh, under.
Under, that's what I said.
Under. Way under.
This team's pitiful.
Way under. This team could seriously win 15 games. And not necessarily because, I mean, look, they're bad. And they're also going to be trying to lose. So you have that winning combination as far as losing a lot of games. But you also have the fact that, I mean, I think that they might honestly be the only team in the whole league that's legitimately trying to lose. I mean, I think you can make a case that everybody else in the league to some degree is trying to put a good product on the floor.
Well, here's the question, Mike. Will they play a game all season where they have – one of the two best players on the floor at any time?
Well, okay. So ask yourself the question, who is their best player? Kuzma?
Kuzma's what I was thinking.
I mean,
or Jordan Poole.
Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah. I mean,
so are they going to play a game this season where one of those two players is the second best player on the floor? Because I'm going to tell you the answer is no. Name a team.
It's going to be tight. I mean, maybe.
Name a team. Maybe. Like, would you rather? I'd rather have as much as crap as I gave Cade Cunningham, and I'd rather have Cade Cunningham than any of those guys. I'd rather have Ivy than either of those guys. So Detroit's already out. Okay. Orlando,
Charlotte. You'd rather have LaMelo and Miles Bridges
for 100%. I might even argue I want the upside of Brandon Miller before those two guys.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah. Like, the Wizards are not. The Wizards might be lucky. They might be lucky to win 15 games. So we're gonna. That's where I'm gonna pick up some of my. I'm gonna pick up some of my wins for some of my overs from the Wizards and the Sixers. I feel pretty good about that.
Okay.
All right, do we want to recap it and then wrap it up? Or are we talking any Browns?
No, we're not talking about that game. That game doesn't even count.
Okay, sounds good to me. 1-2 in the division, man.
Well, Mike, we're not talking about it. I don't want to talk about it.
It's not good.
So I went to Cedar Point. It was a good call. Good call.
Recap, Atlanta Hawks, 42. 42 and a half or 42?
They're all halves.
42 and a half. Okay, 42 and a half. We both went under. Celtics, 55.5. We both went over. The Brooklyn Nets, 37.5. I went under. You went over. Charlotte Hornets, 31.5. You went over. I went under. Chicago Bulls, 37.5. I went over. You went under. Cleveland Cavaliers, 50.5. I went over. You went under. Detroit, 28.5. I went over. You went under. We had a streak there where we didn't agree. Indiana, 38.5. We both went over. Miami, 46.5. We both went under. The Bucks, 54.5. Both over. The Knicks, 45.5. Both over. The Magic, 36.5. Both over. Philly, 49.5. Your stone cold Steve Austin lock of the week. Philly, 49.5. Under for both of us. Toronto, 36.5. I went over. You went under. And we both pounded the under.
Because Stone Cold said so.
Yeah, that's right. So that will wrap it up. Eastern Conference over-unders. We are adding this list to the Hoopheads folder. So we will pull it out and we will refer to it in the future. We appreciate you checking us out tonight for this NBA Eastern Conference over and under episode. It was a long one, but hopefully an entertaining one. Thanks for lasting all the way until the end, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks. Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.